Hello, hi, welcome to the Travel Advice Show. Welcome, everybody around the world, and you can listen to all our shows at traveladviceshow.com, or you could email us at show@traveladviceshow.com. And today's September 17th, 2007, and our topic today is Wales, the country in the United Kingdom. And I'm Chris Newton, one of the co-hosts, and my other co-host, Jerry Fuller. How you doing, Jerry?
Fantastic, and you're doing great also. That's good.
Yeah,
I'm really excited about our show today because it's one of my favorite countries in all of Europe.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, and we have a great guest today from Wales. Our guest is Eddie Jones, and he's from Colwyn Bay area, which is up in northern Wales, right on the sea. A really beautiful part of Wales. And welcome, Eddie. How you doing?
Very well, thank you, Chris. Thank you for the interest. Thank thrilled you. To have you with us, Eddie.
Yeah.
Sorry? We're thrilled to have you with us.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, thank you for being on the show, and you give some great travel advice to all the people out there, and yeah.
Well, I'd like to start out something useful anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I want to ask a couple of questions, and then I'll turn a lot of time over to Chris, because I know he knows you very well. Okay. I wanted to ask a question about Wales, to him before we get started. Number one, about how big is Wales? I know I've been there probably 10 or 12 times, but how big is Wales? You know,
it's a very small country. It's about 300 mile, probably by 100 mile. Population is about 3 million, I think. So it's not very big.
No, and you can travel it very easily. It's very compact, as you mentioned, but it is very compact. I mean, in a very small area, you can see a tremendous amount and experience a lot.
It's sort of split into three areas, really. You have the North Wales, and then you as you move inland, you've got the mountains, and then the mid Wales is not very well populated. It's good farmland, and then in the southern area of Wales, you've got the big mining areas and the valleys. More of the heavy industry was down in South Wales, and the capital city down there, Cardiff, you know.
Well, the one thing that I find that everybody that's listening to the show is very interested in hearing is how in the world you pronounce Welsh language, because you might have 20 letters in it, and you don't even pronounce it the way it's spelled, and it's very difficult. I know one of my favorite hotels is in Ireland. I've stayed there about six times, and I can't even pronounce it. And it's something like New Dismas or something, but it's not. You don't pronounce it the way. Could you please give a short lesson in pronouncing Welsh?
It is a difficult language. You have things like F, which is pronounced V. To pronounce an F, it has to be double F. So that throws a lot of people straight away. And you have double L's. And you have double D's, which all have different sounds. Double L is more of a sound. Double D is V, more of a THE sound. So it's quite a confusing language. It's a very old Celtic language.
Yes, it's one of the oldest languages in Europe.
Yes. Yeah. It's probably some words... are similar to some of the Scottish place names, Aber, like you get Aberfeldy and places like that in Scotland, and we have places beginning with Aber in Wales, and Aber means river in both countries, so there are similarities in quite a lot of the Celtic countries, and yet they're in some ways are completely different. Even North and South Wales, certain things mean different things, you know, different words are different, so it's quite a localized language in some respects.
Well, the nice fortunate thing is that everybody there speaks English, so we're able to communicate, but it's a beautiful language when spoken, don't you think?
Yes, and it's quite a musical language as well. We've got a good history of Welsh choirs.
I know.
You know, which is... it's something else to hear a Welsh choir, you know, it really stirs the blood, you know.
Well, we always recommend, I own a company called Travel Advice, and we always recommend anyone going to Wales must go there on Sundays and attend a Welsh church. And they must hear the people singing because they're world famous for the singing. The two places in the world that's most famous for the local people just singing normally is, of course, Wales, and the other is the Cook Islands. The Cook Islanders sing beautifully, too. But the Welsh, oh, they're so musical. I mean, as far as rhythmic, and it's hypnotic. You just have to listen to it. It's spectacular. So I'm glad you brought that up.
There's still a lot of the choirs around. A lot of them, unfortunately, were attached to perhaps the heavy industry, the mining areas, and a lot of the mines are now closed. So they've probably lost some of the choirs down south. But there are still quite a lot of good ones around, and it's certainly worth catching if you can, you know. Some of the pubs quite often will have a few good Welsh singers livening up the evening, you know.
Fabulous. Well, I don't want to hog it, but I do want to ask one more question, then I'll turn the time over to Chris.
Oh, no,
when would you think, Eddie, is the best time for a person to go there to experience Wales, where the weather might be the best?
Weather-wise, probably now, actually. September is usually quite a stable month as regards the weather. And I hope it's in the springtime. The summers can be a little bit unpredictable. July, actually, is quite often a not particularly good month. It's quite often a wet month, although it's warmer. September is usually a nice time.
And the trains are still going and the museums are still open in September?
Sorry?
Are the trains still going, the narrow gauge trains?
Oh, the little trains, yeah. You got just quite a few little trains. I think
they're still going in September?
They should be. Yeah, you know, I wouldn't leave it too late because they may start closing them down later in the month. But this is the Snowdon Railway, which is they should be running because there's no real weather problems to stop them running. It would only be perhaps the number of visitors using them that would perhaps say it's not worth it, you know. There's quite a few of the little railways in North Wales now.
And they're fabulous, absolutely fabulous. And each one goes on like an old mining area, usually. And they used to be mining trains, sort of. And they're steam-driven, narrow gauge, and all different kinds of scenery they go through. You must go on at least four or five different ones throughout the world.
It's the way to see the countryside, certainly.
Yeah. Okay, Chris.
Okay.
Since you spent a lot of time in Wales also, and you know Eddie well, now's your time to ask questions.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, the thing that I really was amazed when I was in, like, in the North Wales area are the castles, you know, and just the amount of really beautiful castles in almost every village. And Eddie, do you have any favorite castles that you would recommend, somebody to go to visit or just to see and maybe do a tour or something? Or?
Well, I think the most spectacular is probably Carnarvon Castle.
Carnarvon? Okay.
It's where the Prince of Wales had his investiture, and it's traditional there that the Prince of Wales is invested in Carnarvon Castle. It's a very spectacular castle right on the shore.
Oh, okay.
And it was previously a Roman fort, so it was obviously a prime site for a castle. Another very good one, although it doesn't look particularly impressive because it's not a great height, is Beaumaris on the Isle of Anglesey, which they reckon, I think it was virtually the last castle. I don't think it actually was completed because they ran out of money. But as regards a defensive fortification, it was considered to be one of the best for that. It was very hard to get into without suffering severe casualties, because the cannon made them redundant eventually. Conway Castle is very good, and there's about it's a walled town, and you can walk around the walls of Conway Castle as well, which is an impressive sight.
That's great. Have you been there? Have you visited one of the castles, Jerry? Have you
been there? Yes.
Yeah.
And there's, in that area too, there are several other ones sort of by the Ivory Light. And I'm not going to pronounce them right because they don't, I love the way they say it, and I don't say it correctly, but I really do like the Holy Head and the, is it called the Bumaris?
Bumaris, yeah.
Bumaris? They're all, because Wales has probably 100 castles ranging all the way from practically ruined, but many of them are in very good shape and great to tour. Some of them are furnished and everything, and they're all different sizes. Some are in the mountains overlooking the ocean, some are on the beach. Some are all over, and it's absolutely beautiful. You must see at least 5 or 6 of them throughout the country because, as you say, the Carnarvon is world famous. You know, and the thing that's interesting, Eddie, that I find is that they use some of these castles in movies. They won't say where it is and which castle it is, but it's in the movies, and you see the castle and say, oh, I've seen that before.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
So that, go ahead.
There are, you know, most of the big castles around the coast. There are some smaller castles inland, which were probably actually Welsh castles built by the feudal lords to protect their particular area of land. Whereas the ones around the sea coast were built by the English to subjugate the Welsh. But there's some very impressive. Certainly very impressive castles.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any. There's very few. I don't think that are actually habitable now. But they are improving them and putting a little bit back into the ruins to keep them so that you can go around and see where things were and how they were used.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and most of Wales is pretty rural, right, Eddie? It's pretty rural area, except for like Cardiff and a couple of the other cities. But most of the towns are pretty smaller towns. Yeah,
there's no real big cities other than perhaps Cardiff and Swansea down on in the south. North Wales, Wrexham is probably the biggest town. But to say that, as you say, that mostly they are rural towns, not a lot of heavy industry.
Yeah.
Tourism is probably the main source of income for lots of places.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's right.
Well, one of the reasons, because of the small town, that's one of the reasons it makes Wales such a fabulous place to visit.
Yeah.
Because you can stay in these little inns and little hotels. And bed and breakfast that only had maybe 10, 12 rooms, and our manor homes. They've got magnificent manor homes throughout the country, and most of them don't have more than 10 rooms, and you can stay in any kind of a price range. And that's where you meet the people, and they're wonderful. It's absolutely fantastic. So you get a variety of hotels, and that's why they don't have very many huge hotels in Wales because of the small town.
There's not the sort of traditional big named hotels, you know, mm-hmm. they're all, you say, there are lots of private, small bed and breakfasts, pub type locations.
Yeah, I like that.
The countryside. I can't really say that I can recommend anybody because when you actually live there, you don't use them as a hotel. I have to come home at night, you know.
Right.
Another thing about Wales that most Americans and probably most foreigners don't understand is that you have many, many, many golf courses there.
Oh, yeah.
In fact,
if
I remember, it's way over 150 of them. I mean, many of them are excellent golf courses.
Well, I'm not a golfer personally, but I mean, there's one in Newport in South Wales where the Ryder Cup will be held in a few years' time, so
that's
obviously going to be of excellent quality. In North Wales, there are 3 or 4 what we call championship courses, certainly, and there's plenty of them around as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of golf to be had. And
Most people don't realize that. And they're both public and private, and so you get a great chance, and the prices are much more reasonable than in Scotland.
Yeah, there's no what I would call difficult ones to get into. You know, they're all accessible to everybody, as far as I know, anyway. I don't think there's any real problem playing any of the courses around here.
I know. And one thing that most people don't realize, that I was stunned when I first really went there, the first time, now I'm used to it, is how versatile the activities are in Wales. I mean, you can do everything from, they've got rock climbing all over. They have many, many trails, walking trails,
yeah,
that you can do from half a day up to 4 and 5 days. And they've got whitewater rafting and kayaking and trout fishing and sea fishing, saltwater fishing. I mean, you can go out for hours. I'm talking the various activities that you can do in Wales. I mean, it's very compact, and there's everything there.
There is, yeah. You know, considering it's a small country, Snowdonia particularly has got all those things. It's a year-round tourism in Snowdonia, with hikers and climbers. They're there all the year round, and as you say, cyclists through the countries, and as you said, every sort of outdoor activity you could think of is there in North Wales. Pony trekking, all sorts of things like that,
and hot air ballooning and hang gliding. I mean, just almost anything you'd want to do is right there, and within an hour drive, you've got
hot air ballooning ourselves.
Yeah. Jerry, didn't you just go on a hot air balloon ride, didn't you, Eddie? How
we
was
did,
that?
Yeah. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, the children brought it as a present for, I think they were trying to get rid of us, but
yeah,
I wanted to know where the will was before we went up, but it was impressive, very impressive. That was a place called Llangollen, which I don't know if you've heard of. That's a good place to visit in July. They have an ice dead on there, an international ice dead on, and there's people from all over the world competing, with dancing, singing, choirs, poetry, all those type of things. And it's a very colourful event because all the dancers are there in their national costumes. And the whole town is alive. It's very impressive. And they have some big stars there as well.
Well, you know, another thing that's kind of fun there is in some of the manor homes and a couple of the castles and areas, they will have the different banquets and a medieval-type banquet. And they're absolutely fabulous. I think the most famous one that I know of is it, you pronounce it Ruthen or Ruthen? Castle.
Don't know that one personally, but
Ruthin. It's sort of up north, near of Chester, sort of between where you live and Chester, at Castle. And they have, in fact, when you're in Chester, they have night tours where they will take you into Wales so you can go to one of these banquets, and they sing the old songs and have the little harps and things, and it's wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, and while we're talking about banquets, Eddie, did you talk about the difference of Welsh food compared to, say, the Scottish food or the Irish food or the English food? Tell us the differences of the food there. Was the food really great to have?
I don't think there's any particularly Welsh dishes. In some areas, they have lava bread, which is made from seaweed.
I think that's Welsh.
Yeah. Bala Breeze is a fruit loaf, which is very popular and served in the cafes. But it's a typically British menu otherwise.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's got anything really distinctive going in that sense.
Okay. But it's very healthy food, and it's very good food. It's very well seasoned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get
it's
some
very tasty.
Good meals. Yeah.
Mm. And like England and Scotland, they have very hearty meals. They give you a lot of food. So you're not going to starve.
Oh, no, you shouldn't starve, man. You get Welsh lamb. Of course, you've got to have some Welsh lamb when you're there, you know.
Oh yeah.
Because what we have got is plenty of sheep.
And they have some very good fish, too.
Oh, yeah.
Chris, what was your favorite part of Wales?
I really
the type of thing you did, if there is such a thing.
Yeah. I really enjoyed, the small town, the small town feel and the people I met there. Eddie, of course, and Eddie's family, Pam and Eddie, and it was great to really meet the people. I felt the people were very, very talkative, and learning about everything. It was just, I think the people made a big impression on me. And also, I really enjoyed the mountain area, like by Snowdonia area, and just the landscapes. I was amazed by the sea right there, right by the mountains, and you know how like most mountain ranges are, like it's amazing that it's right from the sea level, and then so it looks pretty impressive, I was amazed by the beaches too. Beautiful, beautiful beaches.
And they're long.
Yeah. I couldn't believe. And not many people either. It wasn't as crowded. It was a gem. I would like to explore more in Wales along the coast and, along more down in the south area too. But I think if you're in England and you're in London, you can get over there pretty like in 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours, and you can get really in the rural area pretty fast there. And I think it's a good like side trip, or maybe making it your destination and actually going around Wales. Yeah.
Well, I know we recommend people who've been to England and Scotland before and they're going back to England. Yeah. And let's see, they're going to be gone 2 weeks. We recommend that they take 1 week of that 2 weeks and start up like near Chester or down in Cardiff. I'd rather have them start in the south myself because I think the north is more beautiful.
Yeah.
It's all beautiful. But as you said, it's combining more in, it's beautiful, but it's not as spectacular as Snowdonia and some of the mountainous as you get farther north. But it is, start down there and go to Cardiff, Swansea, over St. David, and head up the coast and to Snowdonia, and then cut across into Chester and come back into England that way, or up into Liverpool area, whichever way. And you'll get a magnificent. And Eddie, do you agree with this? Do you think that they should stay in the south maybe a couple of days and use one hotel and do some side trips, and then go to the mid Wales, and then go to a place in North Wales and stay there and take? Because you can go almost anywhere once you're in an area within an hour drive. Do you agree with that, that you just need to stay three different places and you can see the whole country, well, most a lot of the country?
I think you would see North Wales is certainly the more attractive part of the country. I haven't been down South Wales very much, but I have been down there. And as I think everything you want is in the north. And I think it's quite accessible to cross the sea to Ireland as well, or if you were going to Ireland, we can get across from Holyhead on the ferry in 40 minutes. So that's a good point as well. If you're touring Ireland, you can soon get over into Wales.
Snowdonia
is the best part. Within an hour drive of that is definitely the best part. Oh, one thing about talking about Snowdonia, one thing about Wales that is so interesting to me is that you have such a variety of scenery. I mean, some of it is actually lush and foresty, kind of foresty and very green and beautiful. But when you get to Snowdonia toward the top and the train heads on up, it's like going to the moon almost. There are no trees and it's extremely barren.
Yeah.
You never know you're in Wales.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that a lot of the climbers go there because of the good climbing. Even the early Everest expedition, the climbers trained in Snowdonia before they went to climb Everest. So it is a rugged scenery in the mountains themselves. But it's, as you say, within an hour you're down on the beaches and you've gone through the forestry and the green fields again. So it's very, everything's there in a very small space. There's not a lot of traveling to do to see everything.
And another interesting thing about it is, if I remember right, is like Snowdonia is the highest peak, and isn't it only like 3,500 feet high?
It's only something like that, but it's
And you'd never know. And it's not very high for being snow and skiing and cross country skiing and stuff like that.
No,
you'd never
percent
snow elevation.
Yeah, I don't think there's much skiing up there.
Well, I went over there one time, not real skiing, but cross country skiing. We went. I got snowshoes one time and went walking cross up there.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I went over there in February one time, and it was a very different experience because I didn't realize that at a low elevation of like 3,000 feet that you'd get so much snow. Because here in Utah, we don't get that much snow for even
at
5,000
feet. Yeah. it can be very changeable there as well. You know, it can be snow one minute and, you know... And then it's beautiful, clear skies. It can be quite. That's one thing about Snowdon. You've got to be equipped if you're going up the mountains there.
Mm.
Because
yes, I
have. It can change so very quickly.
Yes, I went with a group because I had no idea where I was going.
Yeah,
but
you know, I know it's not high, but it's not to be played with. It's
right.
It's quite a challenging mountain.
I know.
Yeah.
And
people do walk up there, but you see people walking up there in trainers and things like that, you know, and they're asking for trouble. You do need to be equipped unless you go up on the train.
Oh, I know. Well, one thing that we need to mention also is that you can tour Wales by public bus, and they do have a fairly decent, much of the area is covered by rail. And but I think the best way, my favorite way, is renting a car, because that way you can go everywhere in Wales that has a road.
Yeah.
But the public buses are a lot of fun to do those. So don't hesitate to go by public bus and some of the local rails, other than just the what they call the Great Little Trains of Wales. They do have real trains. So,
you could probably plan a nice route using all types of transport, can't you? If you plan your route carefully, you can use a mixture of train and bus and coaches or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's a great way to see it.
You know, there are lots of tours going from the coastal towns as well, which will take, if you're staying on the coast, there will be tours, guided tours that will take you around the area. Which gives you a feel of the place, and then you can do your own thing. Go back to the places you like.
And one thing we should mention is that there are tons of museums all over, ranging from like different emphasizing such as the Roman era and the historical. And I mean, you can go to many, many museums there, and they're so different, and you really should see some of them. These three or four in different parts. One of my favorite ones was the Tintern Abbey exhibition. It's a very small one, but I really liked Tintern Abbey and the history there from King Henry VIII.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of fun. But there's tons of them. They're all fabulous. Not all fabulous, but many of them are absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
And what's part of it, as well as the sort of that museum, you've got quite a few industrial types of museum. You've got the North Wales, where there's a big slate area, and they have the slate museums. You can go down the slate mines, and that's cool. That's a good experience. Show you how the miners worked getting the slate out. In Llandudno, there's a rocky outcrop called the Great Orm, and there, they found the old diggings of copper mines, which were pre-Roman. And they opened those to the public to view now. And that should be quite impressive, because the Romans were there mining as well. You know, it's there's quite a few good finds there.
I know it. One thing, it just hit me as we were talking about that, don't ask me how my aquarium mine got to this. But quite a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago or more, and I am not going to say it correctly because I do not pronounce Welsh words very well, but I took a boat ride on one of the canals, and it was something like Llangolen Canal. Have you heard of that? There's a canal that I spent some time going on. If I remember, it starts with an L-L-A-N. That could be it. Does it have two double L's in it?
Yep,
that's it, because I can't pronounce it.
That
was a lot of fun. Going, they had an aqueduct that I went across, and it's kind of fun.
Big viaduct
that
you go across?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. That was fun.
That's fun, yeah.
Yeah.
There's
a wide variety of things.
A beautiful part of the country.
Yeah, spectacular. And as you look at that aqueduct, and you look off over the mountains and down the river, and spectacular. It's spectacular scenery. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's where we went over on the balloon a few weeks back, and it's some sight to see.
Yeah, it's spectacular. So I mean, you can travel the country even by canal, and wide variety of things to do.
That'll connect you to the River Dee, which flows to Chester. So it's everything's quite close. See, if you're in just over the border in England, you can be at these places very quickly, even if you're staying there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Chester is only an hour away.
Very compact and close. And the only real airport that I know of in Wales is at the Cardiff Airport. It's international. And they do have a flight sometimes from, I think, Canada, nonstop to Cardiff. And maybe some charter flights, but you do have a commercial airlines in the summer, usually. And but most of the time you have to fly in from the continent or from Great Britain or Ireland if you want to fly into Cardiff.
Yeah. Manchester's a good option, though, which is only, again, it's a couple of miles from North Wales. Which is probably a better option because there's more flights coming into Manchester.
Right. Yeah, and it's a big international airport to Manchester.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good link. It's a good link into North Wales.
Yeah.
Well, Eddie, do you have any other advice that you would like to pass on? Oh, let me ask this: do many places in Wales take credit cards? In case anyone doesn't know.
Yeah, things like that. I don't know, but everybody takes credit cards these days.
Okay.
I don't think you'll have any problem on that score.
Okay.
We'd always welcome your money.
It's a great place to go. Well, Eddie, we thank you so very, very much for being our guest today.
Yes.
We appreciate your viewpoint. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's great. Wales is a great destination, yeah. And, thank you for being on the show. Yeah.
It's a pleasure.